You're listening to Halford and Brough.
What we learned, you guys need a fourth hour.
Why do you want us to work harder?
Or more?
Yeah.
Not necessarily harder.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
It is weird now, like, the hours have shifted. You wouldn't think it's that big of a difference getting off at 9 o'clock in the morning or getting off at 10. Got to be a better way to say that.
Yeah.
And
I'm tired for the rest of the day, then.
Woo!
Hey, is that new butter substitute?
It sure is.
Can I have some?
Get your own.
Frankly, I don't care. I just want my butter to spread again. I could have been one of these whistleblowers or whatever it is that wrote into the news and be like, guys, my butter isn't. It's not spreading like it used to.
Why are we not funding this?
Yeah. Have we found answers to this yet? Or is it just a mystery that the butter doesn't spread anymore?
I can't believe it's not butter. Stick around. More
Halford and Brough.
Coming up.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Wednesday. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
Still sleep deprived.
All right, so this is a rough looking show right now.
What are you talking about?
It's a rough looking show right now.
Do you mean the people involved in it or the actual show?
Your eyes look like tomatoes or tomatoes.
Oh, my allergies are so bad right now.
Jason's
allergies are terrible. Is anyone else struggling from seasonal allergies? I don't know if it's the spring or if it's the cats. I am Googling how to give cats a bath.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't really want to do it.
No.
We've got two cats at home. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to give them baths because I don't think they'll like it. But if it helps my allergies, get in the tub.
So that's why you look like junk.
Do I look like it? Thank you very much. No problem. I mean, are my eyes a little red?
No, collectively, I think we should embrace the fact that we're all out here. We're slugging it out. But, you know, we're all a little under the weather.
That's not my instinct to start a show by saying how
you have to lean into it.
We don't feel very well.
No, look very good.
We never look good.
That's it. So it's a bad looking show. Dom came in this morning. Actually, he's obviously here before all of us. And he gave me the lack of sleep starting to, it's really starting to affect me.
I'm going to need to start napping.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, okay, take us through your day, because you're new to these mornings. Mike and I have been doing this for a little while.
KG Vets.
We've just come to accept that we're going to, you know, feel awful.
Uh-huh.
But you're young and probably still have hope for a happy life.
I would dash that.
I work with you guys. Then,
no. Yeah. Like, I would, first of all, step one, get that out of your head. You won't. So take us through your new routine.
There really isn't much of one. I wake up at 4. Yeah. I'm out the door by 4:30. I shower, drink a coffee, and then out. And then I'm here by 5.
Yep.
And then I start prepping the show. I grab the audio that you guys want. I get home around 10. I eat breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I mosey around during the day until around 10 o'clock where I go back to bed.
Oh, so you do go back to bed?
At 10 p.m.
Oh, 10 p.m. I see. Okay.
I try and go through the whole day. Mm. Power drive through the whole day.
Have you thought about buying a house closer to the studio?
Yes.
Bought an apartment in South Surrey.
Okay,
is off the table.
Why don't you buy another one?
Are houses expensive as you get into Vancouver?
This is what I've heard.
Has that become a thing?
Right. What you should do is buy one house in South Surrey and another in downtown
just
Vancouver.
Just have two.
Right.
Just have rental properties.
Rates are so low now.
That's right.
You know, just
they're giving money away.
Lever up.
That's right. So anyway, we're going to get through today's show with aplomb because we are professionals and there's no one else that can do this right now. Literally, there's nobody else in the building. We have to do this. We have to bring you all the sporting goodness from the last 24 hours and then what's to come today. So let's start by telling you what's happening on the program. We're only going to do two guests today, Jason. Not one, but two. That gives us more time for our kooky rival banter, like how we just talked about being tired on the radio for 4 minutes.
Okay.
Chris Johnson's going to join us at 6:30. We are now a handful of days away from the NHL trade deadline, 5 to be exact. We'll talk to Siege about a couple articles he's had recently, what Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs are thinking.
Oh, we're not starting with the Leafs with Siege.
Okay, we don't have to.
Okay.
We're just running through the things we're going to talk about.
All right.
Just settle down.
No, we're going to talk about the Canucks.
You
and we're going to talk about.
Red-eyed bastard. Just calm down.
Does it look like I'm way more angry now than I am?
He's staring at me so menacingly. So we'll talk to Siege about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but not first. We'll also talk to him about, he's got an article up about the Seattle Kraken general manager Ron Francis and how they're going to play into all of this, because obviously the expansion draft will be this summer, and then of course they start their season next fall.
I loved that in that article about no move clauses.
Yeah,
he wrote.
Oh, I know.
Kevin BX is obviously a colleague of his now, but he kind of threw into his article, yeah, BX's no move clause really screwed over the Ducks.
I know.
And it was kind of like BX couldn't even play at the end, but then they had to get rid of Shea Theodore because of it.
You should bring that up on Monday.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, if you want to just like fire back for him calling.
Kevin, did you ever feel guilty that you kind of you kind of screwed over the Ducks a little bit?
Thoughts on Shea Theodore? Seems pretty good. So 6:30, Siege is going to join us. Chris Johnson, Sportsnet NHL Insider. 7:40. Note the time, because we're going to leave the 8 o'clock hour entirely for what we learned. 7:40, Jeff Patterson, a.k.a. Jeff Pat, a.k.a. J-Pat. Now, we're in a bit of a weird situation with Canucks-related guests, because there's nothing to talk about. The team is literally, like, there's nothing to talk about. The team's self-isolating. Like, no one has any updates, right? That's it. The news that
they haven't actually said anything. I guess Benning had that statement, which was pretty vanilla in that it was just, you know, like our number one priority is the health and safety. You know, I'm not disagreeing with the statement. I'm just saying that that was the only thing they've said. They haven't really taken questions or nobody has gotten anyone from the Canucks on the record yet, have they?
According to Sportsnet's Ian McIntyre, two things. One, the Canucks have been meeting with the league and plan to address the media at some point.
Okay.
Very wide, open-ended, wide open. So I guess they've got to talk about the scope and the magnitude of the breakout. And then I suppose they're going to have to address this issue about whether or not the team has the Brazilian variant or not. We'll get into that in what happened, because Dr. Bonnie Henry had some remarks yesterday. IMAC has also said nothing official, but the Oilers have been told not to expect games versus the Canucks next week on April 12th and 14th.
So that brings it up to how many games? Seven now?
Right. 12th would be the day of the trade deadline that they were going to have a game against Edmonton, and the 14th would have been their first game post-trade deadline.
Okay.
Now, that and you know, never mind the fact that we have no idea what's going to happen with regards to the Canucks making a deal at the deadline. Before we get into what happens yesterday, let's do our poll question. Find it here. Should the Canucks be trying to re-sign Tanner Pearson to a multi-year deal? Real simple. The answers are yes and no. This comes from a report from TSN's Darren Dreger, who threw it out there that negotiations gotten to the point where they were talking about term of the 2 or 3 year variety. I believe we've got some audio later on from Friege, who was on the People Show, aka the Family Show, yesterday, talking about the Pearson extension. What are our results on the poll question on Twitter?
This is
at Sportsnet 650.
Overwhelming.
The loon.
Over 200 votes. So once we've reached this stage of the voting, it normally doesn't change all that much. 87% say no. Have we brought a lot of house of negativity over to Sportsnet 650?
I just don't think the Pearson loyalists have woken up yet to vote on poll.
Right.
The Pierce heads?
Yeah, something
they're
like
not
that.
Not here
yet? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't...
87% say no. This obviously depends on what the contract looks like. I don't think anyone's going to be upset if the Canucks re-sign Tanner Pearson to a 2-year, $4 million contract.
At the league minimum.
I think the worry is that he gets 3 years and, I don't know, $3.5 million per or $4 million per, something along those lines.
You've seen all the nerd stats. When you talk about a player being replaceable, expected goals, etc.
Yeah,
I mean Pearson's profile just fits that of a guy that you probably like, and he probably is competent. But
if he's as easily replaceable as some people think.
Probably not, but I don't think he's incredibly difficult to replace either.
You know me, I get very worried when players start approaching 30, especially players that aren't stars, because the stars can afford to dip 10% in their games, and they're still good players. They'll never be at the level that they were in their primes. But guys that aren't stars, once they start dipping a little bit, it becomes quick that they're kind of like, wow, these guys can't keep up. And then they become replacement level players at a contract rate that they don't deserve.
And Pearson's right there. Like, he's 28 right now. He turns 29 in August. So he's right at that precipice where are you going to see that 10% decline in a guy that, you know, when he's maxing out, he's probably giving you 20 to 25 goals, right?
Pearson reminds me a lot of Chris Higgins.
Yeah, I think on a good team,
Chris Higgins, when he was in, you know, his late 20s.
Chris Higgins.
Was a third liner. And then when the Canucks started losing players, and you remember under Torts, he played a lot. Mm-hmm. He was a top six guy under Torts and had a good season.
Torts love Americans.
I can't remember. Can you just add color? Okay, but
droning on about a Chris Higgins comparison.
Well, I'm just saying.
Add some levity.
By the time he got into his 30s, he was real quick before he was out of the league.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
And he played a very physical game.
Yeah.
The thing too, right?
And, well, Pearson does too. He's along the walls a lot.
That's the comparison.
Yeah.
Those kind of
his
guys.
His skating wasn't great. So when he slowed down a little bit, it was problematic.
Right. Like, he's not one of those guys that could probably poach a couple goals or get a couple looks on the power play because he's got a nice shot. Like, he's going to have to work pretty hard for his offense. So should the Canucks be trying to re-sign Tanner Pearson to a multi-year deal? Yes or no? What is it, 87% at last check said no?
87% said no, yeah.
We're
That's
at 85
not house of negativity,
now.
Though. It's just...
Yeah, it kind of is because it's something that Benning wants to do.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
It's actually quite hosted.
Notice how you talked a lot there and I just let you talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
We begin with the Canucks COVID update.
Yes, we do begin with that.
Yes.
We begin with it.
The what now?
The COVID update.
Thank you. When Jake Virtanen was added to the NHL's protocol.
Shotgun Jake.
There he is. This is good. The best is when I can anticipate the interruption. And then I
so drive. Good.
There it is. See?
All right, I'll let you go.
No, it's fine.
You know, it's a serious topic.
Yeah, I was going to say, pick your spots, bro.
So serious.
Yeah. Making jokes about the coronavirus. When Jake Virtanen was added to the NHL's protocol list for the coronavirus on Tuesday, the number of afflicted Vancouver Canucks on the active roster grew to 18. So you add to that 18, three coaches, two unnamed compromised players in a taxi squad. That's a big number.
Mm.
That's 23 people that are currently either on the team, on the coaching staff, or on the taxi squad. Now, there was a development yesterday when the people were asking, how did the Brazilian variant become part of this outbreak? And I guess...
I saw a lot of arguing on Twitter. That's useful. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's argue on Twitter about whether or not it was the P1 variant.
Right. And the reason that these arguments kicked off was because during her presser yesterday, Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry said that she wasn't aware of any cases of the Brazil variant within the Canucks organization. Do we have the audio of Dr. Bonnie Henry now? Let's play that.
Yeah, so I'm not aware that any of the cases in the Canucks organization are related to P1. I don't know where that started, but not that I'm aware of. And, you know, this it just tells us that once this virus gets hold, it can spread very quickly, despite having routine testing protocols, having protocols to try and protect people as much as possible. And, you know, my heart goes out to the Canucks, and I know Vancouver Coastal is working very closely with them to make sure that they get the support that they need, that the team members and their families are assessed and tested and get the health care that they need as well.
So I think the arguments online, as most arguments online, are really missing the point of this whole thing. The reason people want to know about the Brazilian variant is, one, because there's been a pretty significant outbreak in British Columbia, and they want to know if the Canucks outbreak is related to that. I think, two, and I brought this up a couple times, including with the epidemiologist from UBC, Daniel Coombs, we had on the show the other day. Do they need, and this by they, I mean the NHL, does the NHL need to revisit its protocols because the Brazilian variant is three times more transmissible? Or is there anything you can do more? Because the reality of it is, and I said it on the call, and I sounded like a moron to an epidemiologist. I'm like, you know, virus gonna virus. But it's true.
And he's
like, can I go now? And then, that's the reality of the situation is, at a certain point, if you're in a small cluster on a bench, shoulder by shoulder, and you're not wearing a mask, that's the time when disease theoretically could spread.
Yeah. And I think the reason that some people were working under the assumption that it was the P1 variant was a few things. I think some reporters were told that the league was working under that assumption.
Correct.
And also that just the speed of the spread, people were like, wow, this is just rocketing around the Canucks. Maybe it's the P1 variant. As it turns out, it may not be. Dr. Bonnie Henry, I'm sure, would have known whether or not it was. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the Canucks do have – it doesn't make the Canucks outbreak like, oh, don't worry about it then.
Well, exactly. You know? That's the argument that I hated, where they were like, it's not as serious as we thought. I'm like, mm-hmm. That's not how this conversation should go. Like, people just want to know facts, and you don't need to argue every single thing on the internet, shockingly. But that's kind of how
people... Some people. I guess it passes the time for them.
So right now, the list, deep breath, Nils Höglander, Jalen Chatfield, Mark Michaelis, Travis Boyd, Bo Horvat, Jace Harluck, Tyler Mott, Brandon Sutter, Tyler Myers, Thatcher Demko, Alex Edler, Quinn Hughes, Zach MacEwen, Antoine Roussel, Braden Holtby, Adam Gaudette, and Travis Hamonic are the players now on the list. And of course, you can add Jake Virtanen to that as well. As I mentioned off the top, IMAX said nothing official, but the Oilers have been told not to expect games versus the Canucks next week from April 12th to April 14th. So the game right after the trade deadline. So, I mean, start reading the tea leaves here. There's going to be a lot of makeup games and not a lot of time to do them. And that's, again, we still have no idea what the reaction and the response is going to be from the club in terms of getting back up to health and getting back up to playing shape. Because, you know, sitting in self-isolation for 2 weeks, that's going to take a while to shake everything off and then try and maintain competitive balance. Like, I don't think...
Are we maybe... If I'm looking at the schedule right now, April 7th today, they're in the thick of it still. So the 12th, April 12th and April 14th, the Oilers have been told don't expect to play those games.
Right.
So their next game after that would be Saturday, April 17th at home to Toronto. 4 o'clock start.
You had to. You just had to.
I love that 4 o'clock start.
Jason Brough focusing on the important things.
And then so they've got two games against the Leafs and then four against Ottawa. And I'm kind of wondering, would those games just be like, nah, don't bother with those.
Right. Throw them in the trash can. What's the point? I want to get back to the Tanner Pearson thing. We got a text from Joe F. in White Rock. You replied.
Hey, my hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you know Joe F.?
I think so.
Morning, boys. Bruff, I can't believe you're comparing Tanner Pearson to Chris Higgins. Have a shot of espresso, and wake up. And then you wrote back, why not? And then Joe wrote back, Pearson does not hustle on the forecheck the way Higgins used to. I think Joe's wildly off on this.
Have another sip of your little espresso.
I think your Tanner Pearson...
I mean, they're not identical twins in the way they play.
I think it's a good comparison. I watch both of them.
It's not hustle on the forecheck the way Higgins used to.
Right, like they're not the exact same player. Joff, also known as Joe F. But no, I thought it was... Like,
first of all, I mean, look at the color of their hair. It's right. Not identical. They're both brown, but one's a darker brown.
One's American. One's Canadian. No, like, I thought it was a good comparison. Anyway, back to Tanner Pearson. Elliot Friedman yesterday on The People Show, a.k.a. The Family Show. He's got updates on where negotiations are at between the Canucks and Pearson. Go.
That's true. I do believe that they are working towards it. I do believe it's possible. I always say nothing is done until it's done, but I do think it's trending in that direction.
So the keyboard there.
Again, this whole poll question could have an option of it depends on the deal.
Sure.
Now, I think Sat was making the point yesterday that if Jim Benning has said he doesn't expect the Canucks to be competitive, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs contender for 2 years,
yep,
then why sign a guy that would be 30 at that point?
Right.
It's when you would have, because I understand his reluctance to lose Tanner Pearson, but as Tanner Pearson right now is a useful player.
Dom wants to jump in.
I think it's because they're looking to fill out the bottom six with affordable contracts.
So you're assuming you can get them affordably?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's Tanner Pearson. If you're overpaying for Tanner Pearson, you're just doing it wrong.
Well, right. What? Okay. Well, estimate a number then. Estimate a contract.
$2 million, 2 years.
Do you think Tanner Pearson is going to take a 2 year
in a pandemic with
contract?
A flat cap? I think, yeah, probably.
You think so?
It's a good question because there were a lot of guys in free agency last summer that I think they're like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Like, yeah, the guys are going to get squeezed, but it doesn't apply to me. And then Mike Hoffman having to go to St. Louis on a PTO. Yeah. I know he eventually got his deal. Michael Granlund had to circle back and just sign with Nashville.
Yep.
Taylor Hall, right?
Like, who is reaching out to Tanner Pearson to fill out their top
six? Well, that's the thing.
No
right?
one right now because it's that would be, what do you call it?
Tampering.
Tampering.
No, I mean, I'm speaking. You get what I'm saying.
Play by the rules, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We run a clean show here, Dom. No tampering. Devin in Saskatoon texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 and says, 2 to 3 year deal between $2 to $3 million per is a COVID bargain for Pearson. How often do UFAs take pay cuts? Well, the answer is quite often during a pandemic.
Right.
But Devin goes on, sounds like that's what's happening here. Pearson isn't as easy to replace as the fourth-round draft pick truthers will have you believe.
Well, there is I'll say this.
No, he wouldn't be.
No, I know. And I'll say this. There could be a situation where he looks at the landscape and just doesn't want to go through the uncertainty of not having a job, right? I mean, if you can get your next 2 years locked up right now.
He might love the city.
Right, and he might like the team, and he might just be like, okay, this is a good fit for me and my family. Like, lots of guys are making those decisions right now. The question is can you utilize that and grind them down to get them for far less than market value? I mean, it's happened. It happened before the pandemic as well. I remember the year where Justin Williams kind of fell to the Washington Capitals because other teams got squeezed, and the Caps were like, well, we'll take him for sure. There was incidents like that happen. Guys think go into free agency and they think that the money's going to be there for them. And then for one reason or another, it's not. Now, the flip side of it is it only takes one offer to screw up the whole thing. I mean, that's what we saw to a more of a degree with Jacob Markstrom. It was probably multiple offers, two or three. But we used to say leading up to his free agency, well, what's the goalie market like? It feels like a soft goalie market. I don't know how much leverage he's going to have. But the reality was all it took was one big offer and it turns the whole conversation on its head.
Cam and Surrey text in, guys, I think they are keen on keeping Pearson because he is a veteran presence. And they lost a lot of veterans last year. Him and Edler are the last veterans in the top six and top four. I would say they saw how the young guys struggled and can't afford to lose another locker room piece. The problem is, with that argument, Cam and Surrey, if you're saying he's the veteran presence in the top six, I would hope that he's not in the top six in 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right?
Like Dom pointed out, it's a bottom six signing.
Let's call him a middle six guy.
Top nine.
I like that saying middle six. Because sure. You're not a top liner, but sure. You're not like
Chris Higgins was a middle six guy.
Chris Higgins was a middle six guy.
I mean, you're expecting Pod Colson to fill out the top six.
Are we?
You are.
Oh,
that's
God,
why you
draft you better. Yeah. You better. The way he was picked. You know, you know, drafted, you know, what was he?
Top 10. He was 10th.
He was 10th
And you
overall.
Need ELCs on your your cap right now.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Hoglander should be top six. I mean, he already is top six.
Yep.
And then you've got Horvat, Besser, JT Miller, and Pettersson.
On the subject of ELCs, let's play one more clip from Friege talking about Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson coming off their ELCs. He's got a number that he's been heard that's been kicked around for both. Here's Friege on the People's Show about Pettersson and Hughes.
I don't think that it's that close yet, Randeep. I still think it's very early to say that. That they know the Pearson number because they have an idea on Hughes and Pettersson. I heard I still think it's still very early there. And of course, obviously, all those talks got kind of thrown sideways by everything that happened. Like, I do believe, and I've talked about this with you guys, I believe that the Canucks had like kind of a number they were keeping around for Pettersson and Hughes. I had one guy tell me they thought it was 15 for the two of them. I had another guy tell me he thought it was 18 for the three of them, including Demko, which leads me to believe that the Canucks have something in mind, and that was independent of Pearson. Like,
Lots more to get to on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Sportsnet insider, NHL insider Chris Johnson, Siege, is going to join us next. We'll talk about everything leading into the trade deadline, who some of the major players will be, including the Seattle Kraken and general manager Ron Francis. 740, JPAT, Jeff Patterson, is going to join us to talk all things Canucks. You can start getting your What We Learns in now. Very busy morning in the Dunbar Lumber text in basket already. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Let us know. Hashtag it WWL, and I can't stress the importance of said hashtag because it allows us to filter through the in basket and find all your What We Learns. There was a lot that happened last night, a ton of hockey games, some big news from around the sporting landscape. So WWL, What We Learned, that's going to be coming up at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, Chris Johnson, our Sportsnet NHL insider. It's Halford, it's Brough, it's Sportsnet 650. Six 31 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Let's go to the phone lines now. Joining us, as he does every week here on the Halford Brough Show, NHL insider on Hockey Night Canada, senior writer for Sportsnet, Chris Johnson. Siege joins us now on the program. Good morning, Siege. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time, as always, to do this. We appreciate it.
We're arguing about Tanner Pearson here in Vancouver.
It's another scintillating morning in Vancouver.
We're a little bit bored without any hockey games being played. Have you heard anything about the Canucks possibly re-signing Tanner Pearson? And I suppose a follow-up question to that is, how much of a pay cut are you seeing guys like Tanner Pearson, who's not a superstar, but he's a useful NHL player approaching his 30s? How much of a pay cut are these guys going to have to take in this flat cap environment?
Well, you guys at least are talking about the right things, because I think that that's kind of the crux of the entire situation. The Canucks certainly have explored and expressed some interest in re-signing him. But, you know, I do think that this is a bit of a chicken game that a lot of agents and teams are going to play. We saw it a little bit last year in the October offseason we had. You know, that's the main reason Taylor Hall ended up on a one-year deal in Buffalo, was that, you know, the kind of offers he would have expected in a normal time weren't there for him to be found. And so if you're someone like Tanner Pearson, who obviously doesn't have the resume that Taylor Hall did going into that negotiation, you know, you like Vancouver, you know, I do think all things being equal, he'd be more than happy to stay. But you're weighing, you know, what the Canucks can pay you against what you expect to get on the open market. And I think that's a mystery right now, honestly. I mean, we haven't really seen an environment like this since the NHL salary cap was put in 2005. It went up every single season. Well, now we're not only facing a flat cap environment from this year to next year, but it's for multiple years down the road. And so, you know, I think ultimately what this will come down to is the Canucks will make a best offer at some point. Maybe it's already on the table. Maybe it's still to come. And Tanner's going to have to make that kind of bet. Is it worth, you know, potentially being traded, having to move right now, and then test the open market, or take that deal in Vancouver and stay where you're comfortable and you like playing?
You know, it's funny because, maybe not funny for Pearson, but his age and his position don't really leave him with a ton of clout in free agents. Like, if you go back to last offseason, free agency of 2020, the five most lucrative contracts signed were all either defensemen or goalies. Like the middle-aged, and by middle-aged, I mean, you know, in that 28 to 30 range, winger was the guy that ended up sitting around, not necessarily left holding the bag, but waiting for something to materialize that didn't. I mean, the big paydays last year were Petrangelo, Krug, Markstrom, Brody, and then Tanev. You forget that was $18 million total on that contract. You know, then you go down, the highest paid forward in the group last year was Tyler Toffoli, and that's largely regarded as being a great value signing for Montreal.
Right, and Tyler Toffoli had to wait. You know, I can't remember how many days in the free agency it was, but he was seeing options dry up. You know, he was waiting around hoping Vancouver would bring him back. So, you know, it's such a strange environment. Mike Hoffman, who admittedly is you know, a one-dimensional player, very offensive, his defensive metrics are poor over a period of time. But, I mean, he ended up signing a PTO in St. Louis. You know, he had this deal in the drawer, but, you know, I think he'd scored 30 goals prior to that. And so, you know, it is a strange time. It was a bad year to be a free agent. I guess the question becomes, is that the new norm, or was that just the 1 year? And, you know, the guys coming up this season will be rewarded. And you know, it's something I started to dig into in terms of you know, asking agents and some GMs when I have just normal day-to-day conversation, and there's nothing near consensus out there about how this will go. But, you know, it's entirely possible a flat cap is going to be really bad for players, you know, on the in the back half of their careers. And you know, we've sort of seen it trending that way, but, you know, this event of the pandemic and what it's done to the business of the league might you know, speed things up in that regard.
Siege, what are you hearing with regards to Taylor Hall and where he might go, if he might go?
Well, unfortunately, for those of us with a Monday television show, I don't think he's going to be on the market through till Monday. You know, it does seem as though the pace of the trade talks have picked up speed. You know, at this point, being held out of the game last night against New Jersey, you know, really we're at the phase where Kevin Adams is trying to leverage Taylor Hall. You know, he's done playing for Buffalo. He's there to be had, and now it's about trying to pit the few teams that are in the sweepstakes against each other and see if you can, you know, maybe get a first-round pick. I'm still a little personally skeptical that it'll get to that point just because of Taylor's salary and how few of these teams really, you know, some team's going to have to twist itself into a pretzel to make this happen and probably, you know, have Buffalo retain some or half of the salary on Taylor's contract. But, you know, I'm keeping my eyes on Colorado in this one. You know, they were definitely interested in him at a certain price point in free agency.
No, they're too good. So I won't allow it.
They already have the best team in the league, I would say, at this point. And, you know, I think for them, it's not necessarily something they need, but when you're in a win-now year as they are, you probably try to add the best asset you can. And so to me, that one makes a lot of sense. We'll see if it happens.
You know, speaking of the Avs, we're looking for opportunities for the Canucks in the expansion draft. The Canucks on the back end, they could use a defenseman. They could use a bunch of things, but they could use a defenseman. And they're in an okay position because they don't have to protect Quinn Hughes. So they do have, I would say, an open slot there. Are the Avs going to be able to protect all those defensemen that they've got?
I don't think so. You know, it's funny because the one difference that Seattle's going to have, I think, in their expansion process versus Vegas is teams stopped giving out no movement clauses more or less in the last 3-4 years. You know, obviously the very top players are getting them now, but, you know, there's fewer teams that are handcuffed by their no move clauses for the Seattle expansion experience than were 4 years ago. But the Avs, to me, are the one exception because Eric Johnson, who's been injured this year, you know, happens to have a no-move clause with the Avs. And then they also have to protect Cale Makar, Samuel Girard, Devon Taves, and even Ryan Graves is, you know, for them is mm-hmm. a pretty useful defenseman and still, you know, at the good age, you know, around mid-20s. So, you know, I do think that they're one of the teams that really does have a forced protection issue. I'm not sure how they're going to navigate that. I don't even think they're that concerned about it right now in the sense that, you know, they're all in to try to win the cup and deal with it in July. But, you know, that you're smart to target them. You know, if you like Matt Dumba, I think Minnesota is another potential option where you have that because they have to protect Suter, Spurgeon, and Brodin because of their no movement clauses. So they're another team that kind of has, you know, a bit of a logjam or a bit of a protection challenge. But, you know, there's less of that this time around because teams saw what it did the last time. And really, most of the bad trades that were made with teams with Vegas were all because those teams had issues with players that they were forced to protect through those no trade clauses. And those have largely kind of disappeared.
Did you ask Kevin Bieksa if he feels bad about the Ducks losing Shea Theodore because of his no movement clause?
I didn't. I thought about texting him yesterday about that when I was looking back on this issue, but then I was like, I'm not going to poke the bear because I know it's coming back at me twice as hard on TV at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I just recall that situation down in Anaheim, and it, you know, it was a tough one for the Ducks, and they've got to be looking at Shea Theodore and going, man, that guy could have helped.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was also because they wanted to keep Manson, right?
Yeah.
Like, they still had a choice to keep Theodore or Manson. They just couldn't keep both.
Yeah, in fact, they kept Botnin over
right,
both of them
that's
as well.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, really, it was Kevin's no trade clause or no movement clause that forced the issue, but then they made the wrong decision, too, I would say, because they had the chance to choose between which of those young D they were losing, and I think they lost the wrong one.
Salford and Brough Show on Sportsnet at 650. We're talking with Chris Johnson, Chris, Brendan Gallagher's injury in Montreal, is he going to be back for the playoffs? And if he is, could the Habs use some of the cap space his injury will give them to add a forward to an already pretty deep group?
Yes and yes. You know, I do think he'll be back. You know, this is a warrior type of player, so even if he's somewhere less than 100%, I have a hard time believing that it'll be tough to keep him out of the lineup, you know, should they get back to the, you know, the playoffs in, what, 5 weeks' time or so. But, you know, this does create some opportunity for Montreal, which really didn't have much of it. I mean, after the Eric Staal trade, you know, they really were a team that any future moves they were going to have to make would involve money going out. You know, Artturi Lehkonen's name was out there and some of their other depth forwards. You know, they've put Paul Byron on waivers a couple times, hoping someone might pick him up to create that room. Well, now they have it. And, you know, Mark Bergevin's interesting. He's the GM that gets up in front of the reporters and says, we're doing nothing, and then makes a big trade the next day or a decent trade the next day. You know, I would think that they'll be a little bit more active now because of the situation. It's one they'd prefer not to have. Obviously, they'd like to have Gallagher in their lineup. But, you know, I think that this does change what Montreal will do in these next few days, because, you know, they're fourth in the North Division, but I think that they believe that they can, you know, and rightly so, that they can go on a playoff run this year, that, you know, even though the Leafs, you know, currently would be the team they'd slot up against, I think, you know, Montreal, with the way they're built, you know, might fare well in that matchup. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them go out and make a deal now.
You know, it's funny because the natural reaction to when you hear Gallagher breaking his hand for what I believe is the 16th time is you're kind of like, oh, man.
It's almost like he goes to the net.
Right. He's like, oh, man, what a bummer. And that's such a downer. And he's going to miss a significant amount of time. But then you take a step back and, you know, you got to remember that sometimes these injuries have been so fruitful and beneficial for teams going into the playoffs. I mean, everyone knows what the Canucks did in 2011 with, you know, manipulating money so they could get Higgins and Lapierre at the deadline. And the one I remember more recently was in 2015 when Patrick Kane, the Chicago Blackhawks, Kane broke his collarbone, was very clearly good to go. I think he had like a hat trick in his first game in the playoffs, but because he sat out and they were able to use LTIR, it allowed him to get Antoine Vermette, and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. So at first blush, sometimes you think these injuries are going to be devastating, only to realize they could actually be really beneficial because of the cap manipulation.
Right. And just because, you know, no player wants to be injured, I'm sure it's disappointing for Gallagher, but, you know, it's also, you know, 5 weeks worth of games he doesn't have to play.
Yeah.
And given the schedule, I mean, I think lots of players around the league, if we gave them true serum or a beer or whatever, would admit that this has been a grind on their bodies and their minds and everything. And so, you know, once Brendan gets to step back, he doesn't have to play those games. I'm sure he can rest up whatever other sort of nicks and bruises he has. And imagine how excited he'll be if he is able to return for the playoffs, you know, coming off that kind of layoff. And so there's a trade-off there, and it's not all bad, as you point out. And certainly from just a pure asset management cap perspective, it changes the kind of things that they can do, because they're not just talking now about having to, you know, is the player we're getting worth subtracting a player we have to subtract, all that stuff. I mean, the equation goes out the window. They can trade a draft pick if they want and add some salary. And you know, I think that I would expect them to do that, as I said, just because I think it's going to end up being a buyer's market. It seems like there's not that many teams truly that are out there willing to do those types of things. And I think the prices are going to drop here, which could play into Mark Bergevin's hands as well.
We're speaking of Sportsnet, NHL insider Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Chris, I know you wrote about this the other day, but I wanted to ask, I know we kind of touched on the expansion draft and no movement clauses, but your piece up about Seattle and GM Ron Francis, how active do you expect the Kraken and Francis to be at this year's trade deadline in terms of getting involved in things?
I think they're very active, you know, is my sense of things. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the answer, I don't think we'll see them make the number of trades Vegas did. Vegas made 10 trades around the protection issue stuff, but they're going to be able to make some. And you know, it's an interesting time because those trades don't get registered officially. They're only handshakes put in the drawer, you know, Ron Francis's word, you know, against other GMs. So we won't necessarily learn about them, but, you know, the Marc-Andre Fleury deal with Vegas was cooked up before the trade deadline back in 2017. And so, you know, this is actually quite an important time for the Kraken's hockey operations department, because it's really the first time they can make those types of moves. They've been on the sidelines since they got their team awarded and they started filling out their staff. But now this is putting things into practice. And I'm sure whether it's a team like the Avalanche or the Wild or some others that have some protection worries, you know, they'll be having those talks, if not contemplating deals. And, you know, maybe teams that are thinking of bringing in a player might be doing the same thing. So, you know, it's the Kraken are low-key in the game now. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to probably hear about it too much. But I bet in July when we reflect back and look at some of the trades that are made around the picks, we can identify that those deals were actually, you know, consummated right around this time now.
By the time we talk again next, Siege, we'll have answers to all of these questions. The trade deadline is on Monday. You'll be back here on Wednesday. Thanks for doing this, bud. Have a good one.
No problem. We might be talking about a Canucks game at that point too, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Siege, our Sportsnet NHL insider, coming with all the NHL trade deadline coverage, which I remind you, all NHL trade deadline coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor. With locations across Western Canada, you can purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies. Ooh, irrigation supplies. You can also get them online at Sherritt, Sherritt.com.
It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We got a text in from Table Saw James. The Mets broadcast had an on-air emergency last night that I'm surprised hasn't happened before on the Halford and Brough Show. What is that emergency? He said, teasing the next segment. You'll find out next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
.651 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. So we have two audio clips to play in this abridged segment here. The first comes from our boss, Craig McEwen. C-Mac, the kids call him.
Was he saying nice things about us?
He was not. I guess they have a segment called Don't At Me on their show, which is where if someone engages you on social media, specifically Twitter, I guess you say, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm too good for you.
No, you don't.
Is that the theory?
That. No.
No.
You go, you say you have an opinion. My God. You have an opinion and then you say, don't at me. It means I'm not willing to argue about this.
I believe it means that you block the person.
No.
I think that's how it works.
No. Doesn't mean that.
No?
No.
No.
Say it after a hot take.
I also think you're supposed to slide into their DMs afterwards.
Stop. It just means you don't want to argue about it.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. Hey, you know what? You guys have your thoughts. I have mine.
That's not how this works.
Yeah. And then you would say, don't at me.
Don't at me.
Right. Dead ass.
All right. Let's focus here. Focus. Let's go.
So what did he say?
I don't know. Who cares?
Here's a don't at me on the Dunbar Lumber text line. And it's a management one, so I'm going to take it right now. Halford and Brough need to be a four-hour show. Don't at me. Adam, the former bath guy. Hey, if Halford and Brough would actually want to work more than 3 hours, I think we could come to that conclusion. But, like, I've never met two guys who want to come in and make an impression that are so lazy. Like, just, you know, I talk to them, hey, what about 3.5? We could maybe move to 4. Nope, we're going 3. It was a hard 3, and that's it. So, yeah, I guess if Halford and Brough actually wanted to do some work, we could maybe get to that fourth hour.
Yeah, so don't at us, at them.
Exactly. Thank
Text
you.
Them.
Yeah, stop adding me.
For the record, we never wanted to make an impression.
Yes.
Never cared.
We actually wanted a two-hour show.
Yeah. I was disappointed when he said 3. I'm like, hey, I work in 3 hours.
We have to start at 6. We want to start at 7.
See, Mac, what about starting at around 11 in the morning and ending at 1?
Yeah.
And then, like, also a lunch break somewhere in there?
Just That'd a short nice. One. Just a one-hour lunch. That's all we're asking for.
All right. Table Saw James texted in. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard this audio yet, so I'm going to be looking forward to this. The Mets broadcast had an on-air emergency last night that I'm surprised hasn't happened before on the Halford and Brough Show. What exactly happened? Can you set this up for us, Dom? Does it need any setup?
No, I just grabbed the audio, so let's just listen and find out.
Okay. I think Keith Hernandez of Seinfeld fame.
Yeah.
And also he played for the Mets, a pretty good player.
Mostly Seinfeld.
At bat of the season. What is that sound?
That's me. Shane, sorry.
This is for, was that you?
Yes.
I thought that was coming from the ballpark. I was thinking, what is that?
I had the... don't go there.
Don't go where?
I got a slight emergency at home. That's what it is.
Everything outside you okay?
Yeah, everything's fine, but I thought I had the iPad turned off. Obviously, I didn't. So...
Can we help in any way?
Someone was supposed to feed my cat, and she hasn't fed the cat in a while, and she used the wrong key, and it's jammed in the door. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in my house tonight.
Wait a second. Dom lifts one out to left, hit pretty well. Back goes Joyce near the wall. It's out of here! Yes. Dom Smith with the Mets' first home run of the season. An opposite field two-run shot. Dom sat last night. He bombs tonight. Two-run shot, and it's 2-0 New York in the fourth.
I enjoy baseball.
But back to the cat.
Yeah, I enjoy baseball broadcasters can do that without missing a beat. It's pretty impressive. Do you remember the Thom Brenneman apology?
Yeah.
When he did it mid-home run? Like, I mean, it was an awful situation, and he was rightly, like, fired for it. But the way that he just seamlessly worked that into a home run call, that's baseball.
Turn off your laptop, Jason.
Jason's watching cat videos.
We can hear that.
He's like, I'm out. I'm
sorry about that.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. Okay, we got a lot.
I wanted to know what happened to the cat.
I think he's fine.
Well, hold on.
He just forgot to feed the cat.
No, he couldn't get into the house because the key didn't. It broke.
So one inning, this is according to the New York Post, many Pulitzers for the New York Post. One inning later, Hernandez said he had a friend going to the house with a locksmith who would attempt to pry the key out of the lock so Hernandez could gain entrance. So that's exciting.
Have you ever been locked out of your homes?
Yes.
Oh, it's awful.
It's not great.
It's like you're outside. You're like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm hooped.
Yeah.
You call a locksmith. That's what you do.
Then you're waiting forever.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're waiting forever.
I put in one of those electronic touchpad on the front door now.
What's your code?
Nope.
That's secure.
What?
That's secure.
Why would it not be secure?
I don't know. Someone can just figure out your code and just walk right into your
figure
house.
Figure it out.
What are there, like, code crackers running around my neighborhood? Looking to get into my very modest townhome? Come on. Whoa, hey, here's a score. He's got an old crappy shovel outside.
I've been scoping this guy coming in and out of his house. I want all his track pants. That's what he's got. The guy looks so comfortable.
Are you the guy that leaves the garbage bags outside for days on end?
All right. Elliot Friedman had his most recent 31 thoughts published yesterday. If you want to read it, go to sportsnet.ca.
Good website.
We'll go through a few of his thoughts as they pertain to the Vancouver Canucks and a couple other interesting tidbits on the other side of the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.